Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with the team from Diamond Financial Services. If you're looking for a way to finance your franchise, you don't want to miss today's show. Stick around, because we've got a great show this morning.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Marty. How about yourself?
Good, good. Feels good to be back, you know, in the driver's seat again of our show. It's been, like almost 3 weeks, hasn't it?
Right. We were both away, out of town, a little bit.
You know, so it was in Chicago for 2 weeks, and went to the graduation ceremony. As you know, I teach for Kaplan University, and that was very, very inspirational. And then the week after, I was doing my residency for my doctorate's degree. So, it's been a lot of work. It wasn't really vacation, though, for me.
Well, same with me. I was down in sunny Florida. Some of it was business, and my wife and twins were down, so we did Disney World first time the kids were there, so they had a great time. And we're in the heat. You know, July and August in Florida is not, you know, real
I guess
hot down
especially
there.
With twins, right? Yeah, I mean, you probably want to go on all the water rides and things like that, you know. But
and I think I drank more water than I ever have over a 2-day period.
I probably like $10 a bottle, you know. It's just well, that must be fantastic, though, to take the twins to
right.
You know, I mean, that's just like something that you always dream of, you know. And we're already talking about that, and the baby's not even 2 years old yet, you know. So
got to do it in a few years, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It must be fantastic. So
we'll probably even go back in a couple of years. It's very hard to cover the whole park. It's just a
you
huge
really
can.
Place. No, you need several days to do it, you know. It's just too much, but it's just such a great place, though, you know.
Right.
Really incredible. Our last show, Don, if you remember, we met with Lee Knowlton, and he is the president and CEO of PIU Management, LLC, the parent company of Pump It Up and Bounce You franchise brands, with a total of 220 locations nationwide. I thought it was a great show. You know, I actually went back this morning, and I listened to it again, you know, and it's really, it was a fantastic guest. Did you have any thoughts on our last show?
Yeah, I mean, it was great having Lee on. I mean, so much experience. I think he also said he had been at TGI Fridays and Tahala Corp, which has a bunch of franchises in their system. He's really the perfect fit for Pump It Up. And, you know, we discussed it coming into the show. I was already a big fan of their concepts, Bounce
right.
You and Pump It Up, from my twins having our birthday party at Bounce You, also going to another one at Pump It Up. I just think those type of franchises are... you know, they're just well, they just started in 2000, so they've had so much growth in a short period of time.
They have.
And you know, that's big business, children's birthdays. But you can just go there in general, just go there during the day. It's not just for birthday parties.
Also, Connie was asking me this morning, she said, can you just go there, you know, just to, you know, I mean, sometimes like the baby's got all this energy he needs to let out, you know.
Right.
We have one not that far from where we live. It must be like about 15 minutes, you know. But it's interesting that you say that, because he mentioned that they're going to be getting into some new programs, you know, like they're going to have like, I think they're going to be offering like art classes.
Right.
You know, like you do that for like an hour, and then the kids jump around for like another half hour, and then they go back again. So I think there's going to be a lot of new services that are incorporated in these franchise systems. I think it's a great idea. I mean,
well, they have like the open bounce. They're going to have day camps. You know, just have to have different streams of you know, revenue besides the birthdays.
Didn't you say your kids wore their shirts the next day or something like that?
Like the school, they're all proud of having their Bounce You T-shirts. Yeah.
Yeah, they must feel so proud. You know what I mean? You know, to have one of those, you know, those shirts. But it's fantastic. And I know for you and Sharon, it must have been fantastic, because I know you mentioned, like, it's all inclusive. You know, it really takes the stress off of parents, doesn't it?
It was nice they handled everything, coordinated the food, you know, the little gifts and, you know, goodie bags handed out to the kids. And, you know, franchising, we always talk about, where, you know, you and I always think about, is it a franchisable type of business or system? It really is a simple business. I mean, they're leasing space, usually some type of warehouse type space.
Yes.
And they'll have a few rooms where they have all the inflatables, and they usually go to a couple different rooms where all these are that they can bounce around. There's a room where they can have the actual party and cake and food. It's, I mean, overall, it's a, you know, pretty simple concept.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that they're having success.
So you can actually, it's like you're really actually there at the party, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I know when we had like the baby's first birthday party, it's not like you're really there, you know what I mean? You're concentrating on giving out cake or taking out pictures or whatever it may be, you know? And this is one of those things, you know, and I know we're going to do something like this, you know, whether it's this year or next year for the baby. But, you know, just to be able to physically or, you know, mentally be there at the party, you know, because otherwise you're concentrating on so many other things, on opening gifts and recording who gave what. And they do all that stuff for you. They even take the gifts out to your car, I believe, you know.
Right, they did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just make it simple. And like you said, this is a very this concept can be duplicated quite easily. You don't have to worry about bad weather, do you? You know, I mean, it's inside, you know? I mean, it's, it was funny. Connie and I were talking last week. It was just, when I proposed to her, the day I was proposing to her, it was very gray outside, you know? I was like, oh, please, God, don't make it rain, you know? You don't worry about those things that bounce you, you know? So, you know, I mean, every day is sunny there, you know. So
is your wife currently mad at you? You're talking about her a lot so far.
Yeah, right? I know. I guess you know, I probably missed her being away a couple of weeks, but you know. So it was I was just very impressed with their concept. I'd like to have them back next year, you know, as they continue to grow throughout
right.
the year. You know?
Yeah.
So he did a great job. So I know there's been a lot happening, and he had some interesting articles.
Yeah. Well, first we want to mention, of course, today, Diamond Financial Services, Steve Mariani, the founder. I'm proud to be his partner. Steve will go over his background and when he started up Diamond Financial. And, you know, the company's known nationally for small business lending. And Bill Seagraves, our Denver, Colorado office is going to be on to talk about his niche and specialty in Diamond as well. And so very excited about today's show, especially still being in the midst of just a rough business financing period.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll give the update to everybody on what's happening and talk specifically about SBA.
Well, I've met Steve, you know, and he's got those, you know, exceptional leadership qualities, doesn't he? You know, he's
definitely.
Just,
he knows exactly what's going on in the industry. He's always knows the pulse, has the latest information, and he, of course, known nationally. So
he is known nationally, you know, and I mean, I guess you know this. I mean, he was referenced in one of our favorite franchise books, the Franchise Times book. And he writes for Franchise Times magazine occasionally, doesn't he?
Has written articles for several.
Some articles from him, too, which I've read, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, looking forward to having the team on the show today. We've been talking about this for a long time now, you know
right.
what I mean? So, yeah.
And as usual,
show.
We got shows lined up into the fall time.
Absolutely. Shows are booked already, so we'll have those posted up on the website as well.
And staying in the theme of the show, Marty, this is something from Buffalo Business First. Congress giving SBA more than was asked.
Hmm.
There's been a lot of articles about how the government's going to be helping SBA, and we'll talk about this on the show.
Right.
You know, a lot of it is really hasn't come to fruition. It says here, this is by Kent Hoover, the House passed legislation that provides $848 million in funding for the Small Business Administration next year, $69 million more than requested by the Obama administration.
Hmm.
Combined with funds provided for the SBA through the economic stimulus package, the appropriations would restore the agency's budget to almost what it was before President George W. Bush took office. The House bill provides more funding than the current administration requested for several entrepreneurial development programs, including small business development centers, women's business centers, and veterans business development. It also calls for an $80 million subsidy for the SBA 7A loan program, the agency's largest business loan program. So, you like to read this stuff and hoping that it will help,
right.
help trigger or help, get things going in the right direction, which they are now a little bit, but, you know, mm-hmm. definitely need some new things to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bill authorizes up to $7.5 billion in 504 loans, a program primarily used to finance real estate projects. Neither loan program is going to come close to hitting its authorization level this year. Through July 17th, Marty, the SBA has approved $6.5 billion in 7A loans this year, this fiscal year, a 35% decline from the same period a year earlier.
Wow.
35% less. The number of loans was down 46% to about 31,500 total loans. And even the 504 program is down. So,
wow.
Just a little bit of news about SBA.
Right.
Here's something out of Boston.com or the Boston Globe. Don't call it fast food, just quick and casual by Jen Abelson. Friendly Ice Cream Corp. We all know Friendly's Ice Cream.
Uh-huh.
You know, you and I have been going there for years. It's looking to shake up the Wilbraham Company with a new fast casual restaurant chain it hopes will thrive along the Eastern Seaboard. I'm just discussing this because I've been going there my whole life, and I've just noticed some Friendlies here in the New Jersey area aren't there anymore, whether they just closed up, they weren't doing well, or transferred to a better location. The first Friendlies Express will open in Mansfield tomorrow. Customers will order at the counter from a limited menu, and employees will bring food to the table in less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
It's a few notches above fast food with a more limited menu than at a traditional Friendlies. The king of dining customer would find at a Panera Bread Bakery cafe, for example. The
wow.
new restaurant with just 40 seats will also put a bigger emphasis on takeout orders for busy customers. This is all about speed and portability, said Jim Sullivan, Friendly's VP of Franchising and Development. Consumers today don't have time for a sit-down experience. The 2,200-square-foot restaurant is about one-third smaller than a typical Friendly's. It represents an effort by the struggling company to enter one of the few growth areas in the restaurant business, delivering fresh, made-to-order food in a convenient setting.
Wow.
Their business dropped off 7% in the past 5 years. As the 504 restaurant Friendly's chains has shuttered, underperforming stores and battled problems with poor management, declining service. This kind of reminds me, Marty, we've talked a lot of articles, you know, some of your popular franchises, how they have to change and come up with a new slogan or look or logo. I guess you always have to change. Maybe Friendly's didn't change enough. They've been around.
Yeah.
It was begun by two brothers in 1935 as a neighborhood ice cream shop in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Wow.
But they were acquired by a private equity firm a couple years ago. So I guess they're going, you know, they have to evolve and make some changes, I guess, to survive.
Well, you have to, you know, I when you say franchising, I don't think of Friendly's that much. You know, I mean, we have a Friendly's probably about 5 minutes from where we live. And I have to tell you, I mean, we don't go there that often. But you don't see a big crowd there, you know what I mean? The couple of times that we have been there, I mean, service is usually a little slower. And, and I'm not putting down Friendly's. I like them. I think they have a great operation. But, yeah, I mean, this is a learning lesson. You wonder what happens to some of these older, and you use the word popular, franchises. You know, do they just do they forget about marketing? You know, do they forget about strategic planning and things like that, and they just become passive? And you can't, can you? I mean, you have to constantly be looking 5 years ahead. And if you're not doing that, you're in trouble. You know, and that's the franchisor's responsibility. You know, and that's one of the benefits of buying a franchise is you trust that franchisor to do their homework and say, you know what, they know what's going to happen in 5 years. So, I mean, I think this is an interesting thing that they're doing. What do you think? Do you think it's going to work? Or?
Well, it depends on this equity firm, how much experience they have in franchising. And
it's going to be promotion, too, you know, because there must be a certain perception. You know, when I say Friendly's, what do you think of? You know what I mean? You think of ice cream. Do you think of, you know, sitting down and getting a cheeseburger or whatever it is and, you know, waiting, you know, at least being there an hour or so. It's not,
I guess one of the principles in this new company says Friendly's needs to have a compelling menu offer that is good value in order to be competitive. Friendly's has a very strong name, especially in the Northeast. With the right design and menu offer, it could be a viable concept. So I guess they're going to...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I mean, it's maybe we should have the first one that opened on the show, huh?
Yeah.
That would be pretty interesting. That's, you know... Okay,
or the 10th one to give, you know, give it some time and see how
Let's give it some time and see if it works first, you know, so we'll have them next year or the year after.
First store is going to answer, I don't know, to most of our questions.
Say, how are things going so far?
What's your picture for the future? I don't know. Here's something. Chain operations offer some sense of security in hard times by Latina Emerson. And it starts off, Marty, Wendy Steele said she has that business gene, that entrepreneurial spirit, and when she chose to open a restaurant in Augusta, Georgia, she chose to buy into a franchise chain and in the middle of a recession. In April, Ms. Steele and two partners opened Einstein Brothers Bagels. It's wonderful to have a franchise because of all the creativity has already been done. I'm a very creative person, but I think in this instance it makes it easier. It flows very simply, Ms. Steele said. The franchising industry has grown pretty significantly over the past 2 years, says Alyssa Harrison, a spokeswoman for the IFA. Buying a franchise business can be a good investment in both good times and bad because it provides a terrific way for people to get into business for themselves, but not necessarily by themselves, Ms. Harrison said. That's one of our most famous quotes, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Historically, she said, more people become interested in franchises during an economic downturn. The only thing that is holding people back from buying the franchises is the credit issue, she said. Which goes in line with today's show. Similar to past recessions, she expects franchises to outperform non-franchise businesses, though at a lower rate compared to previous downturns, primarily because of the lack of financing that is available. The advantages of buying into a franchise are buying power and constant support from the franchisor. It's the best way to go. If a franchisor has 300 or 400 franchises, if it works for them, why wouldn't it work for you, said Bud Evans, the owner of Color Time of Augusta, a rent-to-own furniture and appliance store that opened recently. Rather than starting his own store, he decided on a franchise to have national recognition. Color Time operates over 200 stores in 33 states. There are a lot of franchises out there, but you want to go with one that has a very good rating, a financially stable company that's got a good track record and has some history behind it, Mr. Evans said.
Right.
Five Guys Burgers and Fries started franchising in 2003 and has grown to over 400 franchise or corporate-owned stores. One opened just recently right in town. With the growth of franchises, we're currently opening around 200 stores a year. That in itself is amazing considering the economy, said Ramon Almodovar, the store's director of operations. In June, Alan Baer opened a Little Caesars franchise. He has 25 years' experience in the food service industry. This isn't his first franchise store. He says it's the biggest commitment you'll ever make in your life besides marriage and buying a house.
I think we've said that before, haven't we?
Yep. You've got to be totally focused on what you're doing, he said. You have to do your homework. Every business has got its own quirks, so you've got to figure out what your skill set is, what you think you're capable of doing. He said he considered several franchising opportunities but decided to stick with the food industry. With the economy we're in, people are looking for a value. I believe Little Caesars has a great product for the money. Einstein Brothers Bagels has 350 company-owned stores nationwide, and the company also owns Manhattan Bagel and Noah's Bagels. There are perks to owning a franchise, said Roger Weiss, who serves as Mr. Steele's franchise attorney. They're constantly innovating and coming out with new products that would be difficult for an individual to come up with. They're constantly revising their menu. And see, that's a good point, too, about franchising. Maybe we haven't talked about that a lot. Well, we sort of just did before how you have to change and evolve like the Friendly story. But, you know, with a food franchise, something like that can make a big difference, just changing your menu, your prices, coming up with new products, something, you know, new.
You have to, yeah, you have to change, and maybe that's one of the problems that happened with Friendly's. It sounds like when you were talking about it, maybe there wasn't a lot of change that's happened, you know what I mean, over the last decade, or probably several decades. It's probably been a pretty similar menu. I mean, I notice when I go on the Friendly's, it seems to me like it's the same concept that it really was 20 years ago, you know what I mean, so there's probably not a lot of change to it. But yeah, no, I mean, those are some interesting points. You mentioned Five Guys Burgers, Don. We had a neighbor, she called last week, and she said she ate at this killer hamburger place. And sure enough, it was Five Guys Burgers, who we actually had on the show. I don't know if you remember. We had Fran Smart on the show, and I think they're I don't know if they're their representatives or how it works. But
they represent about 10
companies
in the food.
And I think Five Guys Burgers is one of them. But I don't know if you had one opened by you recently, didn't you? Or,
right. Yeah, they're starting to open up there.
Have you been there yet, or have you tried it? Or
I've not tried it.
Okay, I haven't tried it either. But you know, I understand they're killer burgers. I mean, they're just out of this world. So I mean, for somebody to call up and say I just had this killer hamburger,
right?
You usually don't get that often. You know what I mean? So there must be something to the Five Guys. And you know, you mentioned a lot of other interesting comments. You know, the one woman. You know, I was a little concerned at first when she said that she was a creative person.
Right.
You know, and that kind of bothered me if when you first said that. But she does realize that when you buy a franchise, you are buying a system or a method or way of doing things. You know, so it doesn't look like she's looking to recreate the wheel.
Right.
Know? And as long as she knows that, she'll be okay.
That's part of your own personal review period when considering franchising. Mm-hmm. That's one of the pros or cons. I guess in the end, she realized that, you know, the safer bet to go into franchising rather than, you know, going with the lower percentage non-franchise startup business. So as long as she can accept that, then she'll be happy, because when you're happy, you're going to be working harder and, you know, making the business work.
Right, because we've said it 130 times now, I think it is. It's definitely not for everybody, you know. I mean, you may have that entrepreneurial spirit. You may be such a creative person that you don't follow the system. And then the one gentleman that we were talking, I don't know if it was a furniture store or whatever it may be, but, you know, if he doesn't follow the system, then it's not going to work for him either, you know.
Right.
So just because it's a franchise doesn't mean it's always going to work. It's a total relationship. You said it was, you know, we'll call it a marriage, and it goes both ways, you know. It's dependent on the franchisee and the franchisor to make it both work. It's not just one guy who has all the responsibility. It doesn't work like that at all. So, I mean, those are great articles. I mean, it really, you know, sums up, I think, what our show's about.
Exactly. Good point.
So, why don't we do this, Don? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Thank you.
you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine, the Franchise Times' only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with the guys from Diamond Financial Services. We're meeting with Steve Mariani, who is the founder of Diamond Financial Services, and also Bill Seagraves. Hey, Steve and Bill, how are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Marty? How
good.
Are you,
Don? Doing well. Doing well.
Doing well. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Yep. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. I, you know what, Steve, I thought I'd start with you. We always like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning to get an idea of what the weather is down there.
Well, I'm here at in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the Diamond headquarters, and It's a little on the rainy side today, but okay. The weather here is in the 80s, which is always pleasant for us.
Yeah, it's a great climate there. And Bill, you're on the you're somewhere in the West, right? In the Midwest?
I am. I'm at the foot of the beautiful Rocky Mountains in Denver,
nice.
Colorado, and it's another beautiful summer day here in Colorado.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, we've called Marty basically the franchise capital of the country, basically.
Yeah, we've declared it the capital, yeah. I think probably about, 10% of our guests, Don, have come from that particular area, so it just seems like
it's pretty high amount. Yeah.
Exploding, you know, so.
What do you think about Raleigh?
It's, what are they, in the top 10, Don? There you go. Steve, I thought I would start with you and ask, you know, what were you doing before starting Diamond Financial Services?
Well, I've always been a small business entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I've owned seven different companies in my life, four I've started from scratch. And, you know, the real reason behind it was no one ever helped me with any of that startup funds or even helped me get into business. But now I have a diverse background in air conditioning and refrigeration. I owned a few delis at one time,
yeah.
A couple different businesses in different lines of work, auto repair.
That's great.
And Steve's originally a New Yorker, by the way.
Yeah, I can detect the accent. It's, and Bill, what about yourself? How about you? What were you doing before joining the team at Diamond Financial?
Well, I also have been a long time small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Initially in the technology area, computer and consulting business.
Yeah.
But about 5 years ago, decided to do something completely different and jumped into franchise financing and business financing, focusing
great.
On innovative funding solutions.
That's fantastic. And how do you like being part of the Diamond Financial crew?
You know, it's a great deal. I'm the newest office owner, been with Diamond for about 6 months now.
Yeah.
Great team, great group of people. And,
they sure are, yeah.
And Bill's very popular in franchising. I've been with Diamond 10 years, and I met Bill when we exhibited at a trade show as soon as he came on, and he was more popular than I was at the show.
Go for it.
Steve, tell us a little bit about the history, when you started Diamond, and what gave you, the idea to start going national and having outside offices. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, basically, my background has been, when I bought my first small business, which was back in the very early 80s, and that's as much as I'll say about that, you know, looking for funding back then was even more difficult than it is today.
Wow.
And this is what I was told by my mom, who's been a banker for 35 years at that time. She said, you have to go into a bank and lie. And it went against every fiber of my being. That was always an issue for me.
Wow.
I made it through lots of businesses and did pretty well in a lot of them. And, you know, when it came to the point in my life where I had the opportunity of doing something that I chose to do instead of, just taking a business that was in trouble and turning it around, I said, I want to go out there and help small business. You know, how's the best way to do that? And one of the things that I found was, you know, there again, financing was always an issue. Bankers are clueless. They don't have a real grasp on what the business owners really need or what it really takes or who can be successful. And I said, you know what, that's the niche that I want to approach, and I want to help small businesses grow. And no longer am I going to go and buy and sell businesses and develop them, and I'm going to live vicariously through my clients. That's what I set out to do. And what happened was I found a lot of success, and I learned a lot about SBA by getting into the industry. And what I found out was all those myths and all the things that are being circulated by the banks that I grew up with were not true. You know, they use SBA as a scapegoat to tell you, well, the rules are this and the rules are that, and we can't do it because of this. And what I found when I really got in the industry was that's not true. The very first loan I did was for a dentist that was out of school just 10 months, had student loans, and I secured a $550,000 loan to help her buy a practice through an SBA product. And I said, that's amazing. You know, I believed those myths up until that point. And I said, you know, this is an avenue that needs exploration and that really needs to be brought to the public. And that was the initial one that really taught me that, you know, I got to go into this SBA and I got to stop those myths from getting around and tell people that it isn't the SBA, that it is the local lenders, and that there are real forms of financing out there, and I need to get them to it.
It's funny, Steve, your thought process that, you know, because basically every business needs funding.
Right.
Even a successful business, they need, you know, they can use some working capital along the line, they need expansion financing, whatever, but Steve's thought process on why he started up Diamond was kind of, you know, what I thought, because I already been an 8-9 year business owner and was looking for a new business to get into. And, you know, Steve and I happen to have trained through the same company that helped you get started in the business. And I just thought this is a service that every business needs.
Right.
And eventually Steve and I, you know, eventually met looking to maybe broker some deals. And then and then Steve at that time was looking to expand. You know, what made you, you know, consider choosing me to be your first office, Steve? That was very risky.
Well,
that was a very risky
move,
wasn't it?
It's funny. I tell that story to a lot of people. And, Don, I'm not sure how much you remember, but in the beginning, you know, going through the same school to get our initial training, it was probably, I don't know, a year or two after that when Don had called them, because it was lifetime support, and said, hey, this is the deal that I have. I need somebody to help me put it together and find a lender. And they said, that looks like an SBA deal. Steve is doing a lot of them. Call him.
Right.
So Don initially called me up. I looked through his deal, and I said, absolutely, this looks like an SBA deal, and here's the lender that should do it. Go Be Free, being a nice guy to help another small business.
Right. Right.
And they both came back to me, and they said, well, he doesn't know exactly what has to be in the package. And Don said, you got to help me put the deal together and, you know, put the structure together and the project together. So, you know, I did as much as I could. And then I finally said, listen, we have to be on the same team. And the lender at that point said, well, we can't pay Don what we pay you because we're doing a lot of volume with you and things like that. So I said, well, how can I benefit Don by getting him under our name? And really, that's where it all grew from.
Wow.
Right.
You know,
yeah, and then
story.
We made a very good team. Steve and I have had a similar background.
Yeah.
Just believe heavily in marketing and advertising and simply just helping people, helping small business. Because like Steve said before, your typical banker out there, and we've have bankers tell us all the time, they're really not into helping small business owners. They don't want to do the small business loan, the under 100,000, the loans under 200,000. It's just, that's a shame, but that's the epidemic out there. Small business lending in general is tough, even more so during these times. But Steve, there's a lot of different types of ways you could have started up Diamond Financial with, you know, equipment leasing and, you know, different types of loan products. You know, why SBA? Was it just, like you said, misunderstood and just difficult? People would need help with that? Is that why you went SBA?
This is what I found. I found factoring companies and even equipment leasing companies were not that difficult to find. So what I originally did was I went after the toughest product to bring to the world. I said, you know, SBA seems to be the most difficult to get a grasp on from, you know, the average Joe Smith out trying to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, if that's my history is going after the worst first.
Right.
So I said, if that's the most difficult product to get to the streets, then that's where I want to be focused.
Right.
I want to be specialized in, you know, I didn't want to be a leasing company that you could search the web and find or you know,
true,
go down the block and come across.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to add those to your product mix and offer them as services because there are a lot of companies that are less than reputable. But the most difficult product that I found to get to the street was the SBA. So that's why I focused on that and directly went after it.
And, Bill, was that part of your process of starting up Diamond Financial? You had similar feelings as to what Steve's talking about?
Absolutely. The value proposition for me is helping people be successful in business, and I saw the Diamond solution as the ability to provide an end-to-end solution for my clients.
Right.
Must be a feel-good business, I guess. I guess for all, you know, all three of you, I'll include you in that too, Don. You know, it's just, you know, the difference that you're making in people's lives. I mean, you know, at the end of the day.
Well, I got to tell you, Marty, and I was just about to say this. I have an envelope in my top left drawer with all the thank you letters and all the emails that I've gotten from my clients over the years. That means the world to me. I show it to so many people, and I say, this is why I do what I do.
Right.
And, you know, we had one loan just a few months ago that one of our officers was dealing with where the lender, during this whole crash and burn process over the last 8 months with the lenders, this loan had gotten approved, and then the lender closed down twice.
Wow.
By that time, the family had all their money in the deal. There was no turning around with them, and one of my office owners called me up and said, you know, what do I do with this person now? You know, I'm truly upset about it. And I said, Ben, if you're truly upset, go fix this. And, you know, through all his hard work, he found another lender, he wound up funding the deal, and the people opened their store. And I said, that is exactly why we do what we do. If you were to leave that woman alone and let her go, she'd have lost everything she had in the world, and she wouldn't be successful. You know, so, you know, those are the stories that really mean the world to us here at Diamond Financial.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, this is not an easy process. Talking specifically about packaging up a loan and SBA, and the time frames are rough, especially during this tougher lending time. So it's always good when you do get that type of email or call thanking someone who a lot of times had already been turned down by another lender,
right,
and was at the end of their line, and then gets referred to us. There's been a few loans where, you know, people really shouldn't have, even through our lender database, like really should not have gotten loan approval. But that's the type of work that Diamond does, and it's good to hear a couple of years later when they're expanding and you help them to get their foot in the door.
Right.
I have one on my desk right now. It's a seed farm that started in business in 1947.
Wow.
And he went through a real difficult period last year. I said, this is what you need to do, A, B, C, and D. He's back on my desk, and now I'm looking for a lender who will care. And that's what it is, because you have to learn the whole story, and you have to help the guy. And now I am out there, and I'm going to talk to every lender in the country about trying to help this man, because he has done all the right things, went through the economy downturn and the farmer issues of last year. And you know what? He's a poster child for SBA. He's just a poster child. So now I got to find someone who will look over, you know, look past some of the downturn and some of the other issues, and, you know, do the right thing for him and help America, because I think that he's a big part of it. But he provides a lot of seeds and things for farmers around the country, and has been, like I said, since 1947.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up on the deal. I kept it on my desk for 8 months.
Man.
You know, it's just the right thing to do.
Right, exactly.
Bill, talk a little bit about, you know, everything that Diamond does from initially pre-qualifying, and then, you know, what does Diamond do from there? Why is, you know, because Diamond Financial is obviously a consultant and a broker. We're not a direct lender. We have a network of lenders, the most aggressive franchise and SBA business lenders. But talk about specifically Diamond Services, how we service a client.
Okay. Well, in today's trying times, the way I kind of look at myself is much like a career coach, although financing is the topic of discussion. I really see the process of getting funding as a like applying for a job. You've got to sit yourself ahead of the rest of the applicants, put yourself in the best light, and truly present yourself in a way that a bank will be jumping at the opportunity to give you a loan.
Right.
And I see Diamond Financial, the different offices, as coaches through that process. We help people pre-qualify, put them in place or in front of the right banks that are likely to get a deal done, and truly help them, you know, put a spotlight on their specific file. I kind of view it as a BDO's got 100 files on his desk, like 100 resumes. He's only going to hire 2 or 3 or 10, and the key is helping our clients through the process of getting them to the top of that pile.
Right, to maximize their chance of approval by specifically packaging up the loan, because we know what the lenders look for, and combine that with our lender network. I mean, we work with bank, non-bank. We have local and regional, national lenders. Diamond Financial is always on top of which are the most aggressive lenders out there. And one of the first things Steve told me when I came on as a Diamond office, I couldn't believe it, what is it, Steve? Over 84% of loans get declined because the loan is not packaged up completely or correctly.
Right. That's a fact. Over 84% are initially declined because of presentation. Now, there's something else. A lot of times, especially in the franchise market, people will come to me and say, you know, you're one of our last options because we've been to 4 lenders, and now we're starting to question our business plan and even our motivation for moving forward. If 4 lenders won't do this deal, maybe we shouldn't be doing it ourselves. When from square one, they haven't been in the right ballpark.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've been talking to the little local conservative banks, you know.
Right.
So it upsets me when I see them come all discouraged to us when I say, this is a great deal and you should get done. I have 2 or 3 lenders that will do this. And they say, really? But it's not lenders that are available to the general public.
Right.
You know, so when they come to me all beat up like that, it upsets me because, you know, these bankers have filled their heads with all the incorrect information, and it's very frustrating to see these people get all down and start questioning their own beliefs and their own, you know, credibilities in the deal. And that happens quite a bit, you know, because what do you think? You're growing up and you need a loan. Where do you go? You go to the bank on the corner.
Sure. Right.
Well, you know, we monitor all the production on all the lenders in our areas. So we know who are, because we would never discourage somebody from talking to the local bank, but we can give you a kind of a general if they're in the lending industry or if they're not.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if you talk to four of the most conservative lenders in your area, there's no surprise you're going to get four no's.
Right.
You know.
Steve, so what happened, you know, 08, everybody knows what happens, but you maybe tell specifically why the current lending market became so bad, the worst they're calling since the Great Depression, and then what's going on right now currently?
Well, the biggest issue I think that the non-bank lenders faced back in October, November, and December was the loss of the secondary market. And really, our SBA piece is only a few percent of that secondary market. That was strictly, or not strictly, but the majority of that secondary market is driven by the mortgage sales. Okay, the mortgages that get sold on the secondary market. And what happened was with all those huge defaults, they were liquidating their whole departments of secondary market loan salespeople. Okay, so if that secondary market drops off like that, the SBA loans kind of take the hit anyway because there isn't anybody out there trying to package them up and selling them on the secondary market. Okay, the potential buyers were just out of it. They weren't buying those subprime mortgages at that time. So our couple percent that buy and sell SBA loans, it was just not happening. So with the secondary market dropping off, real SBA lenders in the country do not portfolio their loans. They have to turn that money over. They have to sell those loans so they replenish their cash supply to relend out that money. That's where the big issue came in. The CITs and the largest lenders in the countries were sitting on a portfolio full of loans and couldn't liquidate them to get the cash to relend it out. Then, of course, you got the default factor in there. Did the defaults go up last year? The defaults went up in every industry last year. There's no question about that. So I don't care what industry you were in. If it was tied to money, there was a higher default rate. So when you compile the lack of cash reserves in there and the higher default rates, the lenders had a tough time getting through it. And that's why you saw a lot of them exit the market.
And when Steve says a secondary market, many of our lenders depend on selling the loans to create that cash flow and profit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Steve said, compare it on the mortgage side. When you bundle up mortgages for sale,
right,
it's the same thing on the business loan side. And a lot of lenders just didn't have the profit, didn't have the cash flow. They had to put a freeze on lending, or they just simply went out of business. A lot of our contacts, you know, a lot of our people that we send our loans to are at different lending sources now or simply out of a job. It's really been crazy what's gone on, and combine it with the defaults and also, Steve, I guess not enough really government support. They made a few changes with SBA and programs, but it really hasn't helped enough. But what's going on currently?
Well, currently, and I monitor that secondary market because that's the profit margins that we work off, the lender works off. The higher the profit margins on that secondary market, the more aggressive the lenders can be. So that's a direct relation to the aggressiveness of the underwriters. So I monitor that. And what we found is May, June, and July of this year, it has gone up considerably each of the 3 months. So it is definitely moving in the right direction.
Right.
You know, that's a big plus. That's number one. On the government side and on the SBA rule side, March 1st they came out and put a 250 goodwill cap in, which I'm sure the whole world is aware of, especially the franchise industry. Well, with that 250 goodwill cap, what it did was it prevented from new lenders from entering the market, because now they're looking at it saying, well, with this 250 goodwill cap, everything over that, you know, the profitable loans are $1 million, $1.5 million, or $750. So if there's a goodwill and we have to now go to SBA on every single one of these deals and ask for an exemption, is that a market we want to jump into right now? No.
Right.
So, you know, to bring new lenders, the other government programs, which is, you know, reduced our SBA guarantee fees and things like that, have all helped. But it's the secondary market. It's that SOP. There's a difference. When you talk about government, there's the government, meaning Obama and the stimulus package and all the money they're getting to the SBA. And then you have the SBA people that are putting out these rules and the internal policies, because the SBA operates as an independent of the government. That rule was absolutely counter and, you know, effective. What they did was they took a $2 million product and they brought it down, you know, in effect to $250
right.
worth of goodwill.
Yeah.
You know, the only program in the country that was designed to go up to $2 million with no collateral now has a $250 goodwill cap. So that was the biggest issue. So I think that that's really what's preventing new lenders from aggressively getting into the market. And that helps us all over the board, whether it be franchise or business acquisitions or just general SBA lending. We need more lenders in here, and we need more competition amongst lenders in here. That's where our aggressive markets are going to come back. And we're starting to see some of the newest lenders come in. I have one lender I'm dealing with only that's been in the industry only 3 months. Well, they're out there, and they're trying to capitalize on the secondary market increases and get in ahead of the curve, which is a great thing. Now, on that SBA goodwill cap, it's being reviewed again this month, and the new policy will be out September 1st, so we're all optimistic that it'll not be what it is. Don't know what the new – there's a lot of speculation on what the new rule will be, but we don't have a handle on that just yet.
There's a lot of education we do in this business because people, there is a lot of misconception. They did lower the fees, SBA. Also, they increased the guarantee fee to 90%. It's maybe helped a little bit, but now people think they only have to put down like 10% because the guarantee fee is higher. So we do a lot of educating because a lot of people we help have never gone through the business loan process before. And they think, well, I don't want to get an SBA loan, but SBA is the most popular common loan program. And most of the time, the only option for people to get an SBA loan. So that's a lot of the stuff we're speaking to people about. And then as the consultant and broker, always trying to get them the best terms. And we manage the whole process because it could be a lengthy process. We cut down the time. Speaking of time, Marty, we got to go to a break?
Well, it's one more question. I mean, you were talking, Don. I mean, and this could be for all three of you. I mean, can someone finance their franchise other than SBA?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's like what Steve mentioned before or Bill, there's equipment leasing. It all depends on what their total project size is.
Right.
People can get money from family. They can roll over the retirement funds, as Bill's going to talk about that shortly. People can use their home equity. There are some conventional lenders out there. You know, people can take on some equity investors if they want to give up some ownership in the company. So there are some different choices for people, and that's part of what Diamond Financial does also, is to review someone's personal financial statement and determine what the best course of action is for them, compared to what their loan request is.
And that's what I was going to say. One of the things we pride ourselves on discussing with each and every client we deal with is we will do what's in their best interest, whether it includes us or not. If they have options outside of us or outside the SBA, we're going to determine that and explain it to them up front. Always. We always want to look at our client's best interest.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
You know?
Why don't we do this?
Confirm that.
Why don't we take a quick break, guys, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson, and if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees. And as we were saying, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with the team from Diamond Financial Services, Steve Mariani, who is the founder of Diamond Financial Services, and Bill Seagraves. And I think you're up, Don.
Yeah, Bill, talk to us a little bit about how people can convert their retirement funds to business ownership, something you've been doing a while, even before becoming our Denver, Colorado office. You know, a lot of people don't know this type of service exists.
Well, good. Thank you, Don. Certainly, probably the best place to start is where does this financing solution fit for some people? And it certainly is the easy funding solution for those lower-cost franchises, those $100,000 or $150,000 and below franchises that are tougher to qualify for SBA loans. This is an easy source of potential funding. Or for those credit-challenged folks that may not qualify for an SBA loan, it certainly becomes a solution in their set to consider. And then kind of the third group of people that we talk to are the folks that are looking for the cash injection to get an SBA or other loan in place. It certainly can become a source of that initial upfront cash to get started.
Yeah, I mean, so and it's something that's helped my office over the years greatly when, you know, people just don't quite have the liquid cash. And, you know, so where do they go to if they can't get money from family or that don't have it in their home equity, but, you know, we notice on the personal financial statement they've built up a couple hundred thousand in retirement over the years. A lot of times it's their biggest asset. So it's great to have a service, you know, like what Catch Fire Funding does, to roll some of that over towards their down payment so they can get qualified for an SBA loan or just to finance, like you said, the smaller investment-sized franchises. You know, what's it specifically? You know, they have to form a certain type of corporation. You know, what are some of the specifics of it?
They do. It's a pretty simple process. It duplicates what large corporate employers have been doing for 30-plus years with 401ks. Allows employees to invest in corporate stock. So at a high level, the strategy truly involves setting up a C-corporation that's going to operate their franchise business. They certainly become employees at the highest levels of the corporation, board of directors, officers, general managers. As an employer, the corporation adopts a regular 401k, has all the regular provisions of 401k, salary deferral, company matching, investment options, things along those lines.
Right.
Our clients, we coach them through a process that allows them to move funds from their IRA or 401k or other pre-tax type retirement funds into their new employer's 401k. And then just like any other employee participant, they have the ability to invest in company stock. So their retirement plans are making an investment of cash into the corporation on their behalf. Puts the corporation in a position of no debt or reduced debt, cash in a bank account. Now they're in a position to execute on whatever their franchise objectives or plans are.
And it's a big-time savings compared to if somebody was to not use a service like yours, and they'd have a big tax hit and fees. But with your program, it's a lot less. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things. and the ease of transferring that money, of course.
Absolutely. And then the other big play on the strategy is that because you're setting up a tax-advantaged ownership structure for your business, there's certainly some tax leverage that you can take advantage of over the life of your business and even when you're exiting the business.
And we'll have to, Marty, include on some of our website show page information on Bill's services for people who are listening.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
All of a sudden realizing, hey, I have retirement. I'm thinking of franchise ownership. I'd like to look into that program if depending on their loan request. So
yeah,
we've got to make sure we
definitely
put Bill's number and website in some of our information.
You got it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a great program, Bill.
Thank you.
You know, going back to Steve, I don't know if you heard in the first segment, Steve, I called you about the best in the country as far as knowing what's going on with SBA and having the pulse. Was I correct saying that?
I don't know. I don't know about the best in the country. What I found is there are different experts that monitor different pieces of the SBA news, and
right.
I try and keep in touch with all of them.
Right.
For not only the rumors but the facts, and find out what's going to be coming down the pipeline and how our life is about to change.
Yeah, so what are you hearing a little bit for? Well, you know, let's just talk about for everyone wants to know the, you know, we're not, you know, economists here. We can't predict anything. But, you know, what do you think is going to happen as far as when lending might get to be a little better and what you predict maybe what the SBA will be doing short term?
Well, I believe that the SBA is now beginning again to subsidize the SBA. The government is beginning to again subsidize the SBA program, which hasn't happened since before the Bush years, which that's a huge positive.
Right.
You know, Bush came in and made us become self-sufficient in the early 2000s. So I think that that can only help us. I think that lenders have been stepping up for the last few months, and once this new goodwill policy comes into play, I think that there's a lot of new lenders that are sitting around waiting to see how that is going to affect our lives, but I really think in the next few months you're going to see a couple of major players be stepping up. And
everything goes in cycles, and so lending will come back. Will it quite go to the levels we were at? Who knows, but this has certainly been a longer recession than most people thought. But, yeah, I mean, we're definitely seeing more loans closing, more loans getting sold. A few more lenders could be getting back into it, and that's where, you know, everything starts to get better. I guess the more competition, the better it is for everybody.
Absolutely.
Right,
we're getting more approved, more uncollateralized loans approved. We're seeing the world start to return to where it was.
Guys, we have about 30 seconds. Steve, what's the best website for our listeners to go to get more information on Diamond Financial Services?
We try and provide a lot of information on our website, which is at easysba.com. That's EASYSBA.com. We list all our office locations and a lot of information on us.
That's perfect. And I want to thank you again, Steve and Bill, for coming on the show. And you guys are welcome to come back anytime. If Don's ever sick, you can be my co-host.
I'll be happy to help you, Marty.
Thanks so much, guys.
And helping franchises also.
Thanks so much, guys. You have a great day today.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Great to
bye-bye.
Be part of the team, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, no problem. Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah,
I guess
it was long overdue. Diamond's very well known nationally for franchise lending. We work with many franchisors. They refer people to us, and we handle the whole process. And it all started with Steve starting up the business and what his vision was. And we've grown to multiple offices, and Bill's been a good addition. And so it's just gonna be keep going in the right direction with us.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful company, you know. And that was a great story that Steve told, too. I didn't realize that. That's how he came up with the whole concept of Diamond Financial Services. But it makes a lot of sense, you know. And that's classic marketing. It's just satisfying a need, you know.
It's been a good relationship. We have a good team. And, look forward to helping many more people around the country.
Absolutely. So great job today, Don, on segment one and throughout the rest of the show. And for our listeners, thanks again for listening. And you can go to franchiseinterviews.com and listen to over 130 shows that Don and I have done over the last 2.5 years, almost approaching that 3-year mark, Don, just so you know. So big show coming up. Franchisefunding.net, the EasySBA, was it .gov? Is it?
Spelled out the word easy, EASYSBA.com.
EasySBA.com.
And go franchise, and great job, Marty. Keep doing the shows. You're right, 130 plus shows, a lot of information for people out there. Go to our archives, go to franchiseinterviews.com. You'll see a list of all the past shows that we've done.
Exactly. Great job, Donna. We'll be talking next week.
Take care, Marty.
Take care. Bye-bye.